Well, this morning, I'm going to pray in just a second, but I like to get my foot in the door before I pray. And what we're going to talk about this morning is a theme that I hope even the title of which will draw you out and get you a little ahead of me in thinking about this. I'd like to hang the words I'm going to share this morning on the theme, the anchor beyond. The anchor beyond. And we're going to talk this morning about some of the deepest issues in our lives and what God has to say about this. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your throne of grace this morning to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in a time of need, we thank you that you are a shepherd who is ever with us. We thank you that you are a God who blesses us to do that which we cannot do in our own power. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, and I ask in the name of Jesus, that your word would have free course, that the power of your spirit would carry your word, that your servant would stay out of the way, and that Jesus would be magnified, and that your spirit would move in our hearts for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The anchor beyond. Disappointment is as big a part of life as the air you and I breathe. This disappointment, you ever been out on the beach and the waves come up and you stand there and they just wash the sand right out from under your feet? You see, that's what disappointment does to our confidence in life. The strongest, most bravadoed, bad brother you want to meet, the most beautiful, confident woman you want to see, and you let disappointment begin to wash over our lives, and you watch that beautiful countenance of confidence melt right before you into nothing. See, we put oftentimes our hope in things like marriages and family, and sometimes those things don't turn out. They disappoint us. Some of us wait all these years and pray for that special someone. And then you discover, wait a minute, I got married to receive love. Now I got to give it. And this person is not as perfect as they looked before we said I do. Now I see the whole picture. And now they see the whole picture. And there's disappointment. Whether it's education, you know, there are our education can give us credentials that take us places our character cannot sustain us. And education can end up disappointing us because we can't quite get far enough with what we've got. Well, this morning I'm going to talk about finding a place of hope that will keep us. There's an answer for this. And I want to begin with a passage of scripture this morning. I am not going to preach through a passage. I'm going to preach thematically on the subject of hope through the scripture. And so I want to hang as a verse for a heading today, one of the most inspiring words God has given me from way back, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You see, as we talk about this issue of hope, God meets us in some powerful ways. You see, I started out talking about disappointment. But you see, as disappointment works, it takes us actually to another place. It's a place of what I would call disillusionment. Now, let me talk for a minute about disillusionment. When people hit disillusionment, that's beyond disappointment. I become disillusioned with reality. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, as we talk about hope this morning, the anchor beyond, disillusion ain't a bad thing. Let me tell you why. What does disillusion mean? Dis means to remove something. Illusion means a picture of reality that ain't true anyway. And when God allows you and me to go through disillusion, He's removing an illusion of reality that's doing nothing but getting in the way anyway. And we think it's the end of the world. We want to throw our hands up in the air and just forget it all. And all God's doing is getting you out of a mirage. You ever seen some of the movies where the folks are running through the desert and they see this palm tree with the little springs down here and they go, oh, at last, they get up there, take a mouthful of sand because it's an image that is not real. And so many areas of our lives, we are chasing a mirage, something that we are hoping is going to give us hope and confidence and meet all of our needs. And we get there and take a big mouth of sand. And it doesn't satisfy. And we are. Let me describe disillusionment in another way. Disillusionment happens. Watch this. Disillusionment happens when expectation does not meet with reality. See, that's where as a matter of fact, I would say it to us this way. That disillusionment grows in the gap between expectation and reality. You and I have all of these things we expect God's going to do for us. And you see, sometime God doesn't work like what we think. Two women become pregnant at the same time. Come on, somebody. One of the sisters gives birth to a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. The other one, whose husband has prayed over her every night, just like the other one did, gives birth to a Down syndrome child. What do you do with that? Let me break it on down for some of our young folk out here. You see, some of y'all, like me, you see, you are praying for this special person. Ooh, you dream about her. You talk to her in your mind. You got three songs you can't wait to sing to her. You got it together. I mean, you got it all planned out, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. You watch the other brother over here, and he's kind of half shaking and baking with God and playing around, and he kind of throws a little prayer up. Next thing you know, you got a wedding invitation. You go, what? Now, I got to talk to God about this. Now, hold on. Now, you say that if I delight myself in you, you'll give me the desires of my heart. Bible says, I got my verses, God. Come on. If a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. I got my verses on this, and God ain't impressed. Disillusionment. My expectation falls short of reality. And what we're going to talk about this morning is that there is a God of hope who meets us in the middle of disillusionment and gives us an anchor that goes beyond to hold you in the storm. So let's talk about hope this morning. I want to begin with a passage in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Now, as we begin there, to think about this, I'm going to give you a little running start from the Old Testament. Much of the book of Hebrews you can't really understand unless you understand the first five books of the Bible. But hope, I'm going to talk about as we stay over where you are right now. But the interesting thing in the Old Testament as we come to the book of Hebrews is that in the Old Testament, there are two words that we often find interchanged in the Old Testament. They are the word wait and the word hope. In the Hebrew language, the verbs that we translate hope in the English can just as easily be translated wait. So the idea of waiting on God is tied to the idea of hope in God. You need to feel that. We need to feel that this morning. To hope in God means that we wait on God. This is helping us to understand what it means to hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Our expectation is from God. See, this is the idea of the word hope. To hope is to tell, what are you waiting on? See, if I'm waiting on her, God's going to smoke that out because I need to be waiting on him. And if y'all are waiting on him, you need to be waiting on him with the capital H. Because you're going to need him with capital H to take care of him with the small H. I can tell you that right now because I'm one of them. So, as we get into Hebrews 6, I want to just mention one other thing about the idea, the meaning of the word hope. Just, I want to put this in here before we jump into verse 19. Hope, now listen at this. Hope means, especially this is the New Testament word elpis, which is a word for hope. The New Testament word hope, it means looking forward to something with some reason for confidence. It means looking forward to something with some reason for confidence. See, hope is not just your sanctified imagination, just imagining that I hope one day this might happen. That ain't biblical hope. Biblical hope is looking forward to something because there is a reason for your confidence. Do you hear me this morning, church? You see, hope is rooted in something. And that's where we're going. That's why hope, as we're going to say, is an anchor beyond. So let's look at verses 19 and verse 20 of Hebrews 6. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind, that is beyond the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, when we talk about this idea that it says hope is an anchor, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Now, let me ask you a question. How does an anchor work? Now, I love the ocean. I love to be in it. I love to be under it. I just love the water. That's just, I grew up down in Texas, right around the coast down there. And when I think about an anchor, the way an anchor works is that you are on a boat and you want to hold the boat in a certain place so it's not just thrown all over the place. So you have to hook the anchor on something that will hold the boat. Are you with me? Otherwise, the anchor will not work. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if I try to hook the anchor on something that's moving, then you call that a situation where your boat is not secure. And the problem with a lot of us right now is that we have our hope anchored in something that's moving and we wonder why we're not secure. Now, there's an issue with an anchor that's very, very important. The anchor cannot be secure if it's anchored in the same thing you're floating in. Now, that doesn't even make sense, does it? What I'm saying to you is that the anchor can't be anchored in what you're floating in. You got to go beyond what you're floating in and anchor the anchor in something that doesn't move. That's why when you're anchored in a boat, they sink the anchor to the bottom and hook it on the bottom, and then the boat is secure. That is the way an anchor works. Now, what I am saying to us is this. Jesus entered into the very heavenlies. You see, the whole picture we're going to get into in the book of Hebrews here is that there is a earthly, there is a heavenly. Jesus went beyond the veil into heaven itself to pay for our sins with the blood of Christ. And you see, what I'm saying here is that our anchor has to go outside of our human existence to be hooked into something that is unmovable, unshakable, and really dependable. And what I'm saying is this. There are three dimensions of ultimate reality that our anchor has to be hooked beyond, into, in order for us to be secure and to find the hope that God has for us. And the book of Hebrews tells us about that. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. And look down about verse 7. Hebrews 2 verse 7. There are three dimensions of ultimate reality. Here's the first. So verse 7, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, put everything under his feet, talking about Jesus. But look at verse 8. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. All right, now that's true. But look at the next phrase. Yet at present, we do not yet see everything subject to him. And what I'm saying to us is that the first dimension is this. Hope anchors us in the present from the future. See, hope anchors us in the present tense because the anchor is anchored in the future. It's not anchored in this present world situation. We put our anchor in the economy, and we know where that's going. You put your anchor in the strength of a person, and that anchor goes all over the place. Why? Because you don't put an anchor in water. You anchor it outside of the medium of the water onto the bottom. We have an anchor that goes not just with the present, but it goes all the way out, and we are anchored from the future. Our hope has to be anchored out from the future. If your anchor is anchored in the present, you're stuck in the wrong place. We have an inheritance in heaven reserved for us that no one can change. You and I are kings and queens who will reign with God forever because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's an anchor. You see, because when our anchor is out there, when we know who we are, when we know that we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies, then that affects the way you see what's going on in your life. That's an anchor in the storm. Because we know the future. The future is unchangeable, unshakable, unremovable. And this is the future that God has for us. That's the first dimension. Secondly, hope anchors the earthly from the heavenly. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 8 all the way down through chapter 10, we won't take time to look at this. But if you find your way over to chapter 8, we see this interplay between earth and heaven, through this whole section in the book of Hebrews here. So in verse 4, chapter 8, verse 4, if he, that's Christ, were on earth, he would not be a priest. Why? Because there are already men who offer gifts prescribed by the law. They've already got an earthly priesthood. They serve at a sanctuary on earth that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. You see that? The whole, in Exodus 25 to Exodus 40, where God gave the instructions on how to build a tabernacle. Why did he go through all that? You read through that, and everybody just going, oh man, how much more cubits do I have to read up in here? And we get bored and all kind of stuff. Well, it's because God is giving us a picture of what the true tabernacle in heaven, where God's throne is, looks like. In Hebrews, what he's saying, your hope, you see, you live in the present. You live on earth, but you are anchored in heaven. Our anchor is in heaven. Our anchor is not on earth. And so the heavenly anchors us in our earthly existence. Now, one more before I tie this section in Hebrews together in these dimensions. So first, the hope anchors the present from the future. It anchors, secondly, the earthly from the heavenly. But also it anchors the visible in the invisible. That's why it's an anchor beyond. So what is visible? Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We want to see it. Missouri, the show me state. We got some folk from Missouri in here. So we want to tell God, you know, I'll believe you, but you should tell you what, Thomas, look, show me the wounds in your hand and then I'll believe. God says, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And when we enter the life of the kingdom, that's why God invites us to be men and women of faith. The just shall live by. That's right. Because faith is looking beyond the visible to the ultimate unchangeable reality, which is invisible. That's why the anchor you need can't be hooked in what you see. It's got to go beyond what we see to be hooked in the unchangeable, invisible realities of God the King and His kingdom. And when we run around here, we got all our stuff all hooked in the MTV. And what is Oprah's latest thing she's got to say to us all? And whoever else you want to put on the stage. Because God invites us to say, let's go beyond just the earthly. Let's go beyond just the now. Let's go beyond the visible. And let's come and join me in the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom that represents ultimate reality. Now, it's interesting, you know, all over the New Testament, in various ways, in various places, like 1 Timothy 1:1 says that Jesus is our hope. Now, one of the reasons that Jesus is our hope, and watch this, this is what I love. One of the words that describes Jesus in the book of Hebrews is the word mediator. Now, a mediator is a person who stands between two people who are in conflict and brings them together. Now, the interesting thing is that Jesus, as our hope in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is beautiful for us on this issue of the anchor, on this issue of these three dimensions of reality. Why? Because Jesus is the intersection of it all. You see, Jesus is the intersection of visible and invisible. Because the invisible God came down and His name was Emmanuel, the invisible in made visible form. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became visible. Jesus was invisible and He was visible. Jesus was God among us. Jesus was of heaven and Jesus walked on earth. He is the intersection of heaven and earth. Jesus is also the now, but Jesus is also the then. Because when He came now, back in the first century, He came as a suffering servant. But He ain't coming like that no more. He's coming with a sword coming out of His mouth. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. See, that's the now, but wait till the then comes. Jesus is the intersection of heaven and earth. He's the intersection of visible and invisible. He's the intersection of now and the intersection of then. We live in a floating, changing, unpredictable, undependable ocean called human existence, and we need an anchor outside of this to hold us. We will be swept around by the currents of life all over the place. Disappointment, disillusionment, delay, darkness, death, everything will hit us. But the question is, what will anchor us? What will anchor us? What will anchor us is an anchor that goes beyond earth to heaven, an anchor that goes beyond now to then, an anchor that goes beyond visible to invisible. Now, I want to talk about three ways we anchor our hope in God. I want to talk about three ways we anchor our hope in God. And let's make this practical. How do we anchor our hope in God? First, our hope is anchored in the promises of God. Our hope is anchored in the promises of God. We are a people of promise. Back when God called His people out of Egypt, He told them He was going to give them a what? A promised land. God is a God of promise. He is a God of promise. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Hold unswerving. See, unswerving is what happens when you ain't got an anchor. I mean, you see some folk, man, they're driving all over the highway, changing five lanes at a time. Don't know where they're going. Because you don't have any hope. You don't know where you're going. You just drift along. Something comes along. You just go over here. Oh, that looks pretty good. I'm going over there, but I'm looking over here. I mean, I don't know what's going on. That's hopeless. But Jesus comes in and says to us that I am a God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We are a God who are faithful. God is a faithful God. I love this passage in Joshua 23:14. He says, now I'm about to go the way, Joshua's saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Not one has failed. Joshua 23:14. You can trace that theme all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And by the way, the reason that you and I are standing or sitting in this auditorium right now is because what God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, you and I are recipients of that, unless there's probably some Jews in here I've missed. But you see, God said that Abraham in you will all the mishpatoth, will all the families of the earth be blessed. So you and I are sitting here right now as proof that God is true and he's faithful to his promises. And you and I live beneath our God-given heritage when we do not know the promises of God and we don't anchor ourselves in the promises of God. But you don't understand. I just lost my job. Anchor yourself in that which is unchangeable. The economy is going to change. Your company is going to change. Your boss might leave. But Jesus is the one who controls all things. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords, and he has promised to provide what we need. And so when I have a problem, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He doesn't say according to the U.S. economy. He says, I'll provide it according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So where are you hooked up? If you hooked up on this economy, then your hope is messed up because you got your anchor floating in the U.S. economy. And your anchor needs to be floating beyond the economy and hooked into the promises of God. God's promises are powerful. You know, when I think about just, I mentioned this promise to Abraham. You see, a promise from God is a statement of intent declaring what God will do in the future. Do you realize that? That's what a promise is, a statement of God's intent. A promise is a window into the future for men and women who have eyes of faith, who are not caught so much in the present that they can't trust God about what God has said he's going to do in the future. It's those of us who can look beyond this earthly to see what has heaven promised. That is, what did Jesus pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Earth and heaven. And it's faith and hope. Hope holds on in the storm because it knows what's coming. Hope holds to the promise of God because God is pleased when his people trust him. The just shall live by faith. And faith empowers our hope to hold right where we are. And to not give up, to not give in, to not give out. But to stay with the God who is faithful to his word. The promises of God anchor us. The anchor, again, like I said, it pulls us from the future toward the future. See, that we are here in the present, and hope gives us an anchor out there.
And that anchor just pulls us. It allows us to wait on God. To not give up on Him. To believe that what He has promised to do, He may do it very differently than we are thinking. But hasn't He already said, I am God, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts. God did not ask us to figure out what He's doing. He asked us to believe His character and to trust Him. Hope is anchored in the promises of God. Secondly, hope is anchored, now this is where I want to go, hope is anchored in the purposes of God. Hope is anchored in the purposes of God. Let me just share a verse of scripture, a couple of verses from the book of Psalms that God has used to very deeply shape my life. Let's start in Psalm 103, Psalm 103, verse 7. This is a passage that when I think about hope and I think about many of the men and women in my life that have held on to God, whom God has given powerful testimony, and as a result, God has brought very deep in their relationship with Him. I think about men and women who live on the right side of this verse. And then I know some folks who haven't. Things have not worked out. They've gotten disappointed. And they tell God, you know what? I gave you a chance. You didn't do what I wanted. So now I'm going to go find something else to plug in here to make me feel good. And that's what they've done. And that's why the scripture says to us, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12. See? And we just say, well, I'm going to give it. Look, God ain't going to do it? Fine. I really ain't committed to God. No way. I'm really committed to me. So I'm going to go find something to make me feel good. See? Because God's trying to work to remove the illusion. And we're just thinking, I want to get my little stuff met. I have needs, I have desires, I got dreams, and I want them to be fulfilled. God's saying, trust me. Psalm 103:7. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. Have mercy. You see, the people of Israel, they watch what God was doing. And they, oh man, look, God parted the Red Sea. Wow. He made these walls of water separate, so we walked through these walls of water on both sides. But now, when we come up to walls of stone, well, hold on, now that's a different thing now. Oh, whoa, now, we saw God do this, but now this is different. This ain't in the book. No, I ain't seen God. I ain't never heard nothing about no walls falling. March around seven times? Mm-mm. You better give me some artillery. I want some grenades and some of those rocket launchers. Yeah, we're going to take this thing down. God says, walk around the wall once a day. Hold on now. God, wait a minute now. I know you do water, but I don't think you do stone. I mean, we ain't never, nobody ever, you made some water come out of the stone, but we ain't talking about water. We're talking about making the stone fall. We have never seen that. You see, what God is saying to us here is the people of God knew His deeds, but they didn't know His ways, so they couldn't trust Him when the conditions changed. The conditions in life, the context of our life, are always changing. And if we don't come to know the ways of God, which are rooted in His character, then we won't be able to trust Him with stuff we can't figure out. We have to come to know the ways of God. Psalm 95:10, look at this one. A couple of pages over. That goes beyond just the deeds, and we know the ways of God. We are anchored in the character. We know that God is good. His mercies are everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So when my anchor is in the ways of God, and things change, and people say, you must be crazy, Job. Curse your wife and die. This is nuts. Curse God and die. Curse everything and die. He says, but yeah, but hold on now. Though he slay me, yet will I trust. That's a man of hope. That's what a mature believer does when everything looks bad, when there is no hope out there. I have the ways of God. I know my Redeemer lives. I have an anchor in the storm. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. In 1995, 5. I was sitting in my flat. That's my little apartment in Moscow, Russia. Didn't have no business there. But God put me there. So I was sitting in my little apartment in Moscow, and I got an email from my sister. She had twin boys, Shane and Brian. They just turned 6 years old. And she said, Eddie, she said, we just found out that Shane and Brian have both developed juvenile diabetes. 6 years old. Got to take 6 insulin shots a day. Stop eating candy. Stick their little fingers about 12 or 13 times a day to check what their blood sugar level is. Now, how do you explain that to a 6-year-old? But there's something deeper than that. She said, you know, now, Eddie, the boys always love it when you come here and you talk to them about God. So, Eddie, how do I tell them that God is good when they allow this to happen to them? And I'm telling you, I sat there that night in tears, thinking about Shane and Brian and thinking, Lord, what is happening? What do I do with this? And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I wrestled with God over this. And then sometime down around 1 o'clock in the morning, God gave me a picture. And let me share it with you. And this is, I sat down and I wrote this out in a letter to Shane and Brian. They're 19 years old now and they still got the letter. Let me tell you what the story was. I said, Shane and Brian, you've heard of, you're 6 years old, but that's all right. You've heard of Michelangelo, this famous, famous painter, one of the most famous painters in the world. So you and I have been invited to watch Michelangelo paint. And Michelangelo is painting this beautiful, beautiful scene. And he steps back from the picture and he reaches and gets his paintbrush. And he walks up and he puts a black mark right through the whole picture. And you scream, what are you doing? Man, you just ruined the... Oh, man, I got to watch a masterpiece and now I see a dud. What is this guy doing? And you just pace back and forth. You're all nervous. What has this guy done? Oh, man, he just ruined it. Oh, goodness. Then all of a sudden you look over there and Michelangelo hadn't lost a beat. He's over there looking at the painting. And he reaches down and he just keeps dabbing. And we're still over here flailing, throwing our hands all up in the air. And we just watch that. And then he continues. And then part of the black line over here becomes a mountain lake against a dark sunset. Over here, it becomes part of a shadow against a hillside. And then when he gets finished, puts his brush down, we look at the painting and we go, oh my goodness, is that what you were doing? And then he walks over to us and he says to us, Shane and Brian, Eddie, I only paint masterpieces. Without the black mark, this would have just been a painting. It was the black mark that made it a masterpiece. And I said to Shane and Brian, God is good. And I said to them, you have no idea what God will do in and through you by the pain he's allowed you to carry. And I said, you're 6 years old, but know this, God is good and God has a reason. It may be here or it may be then, but God will bring glory to himself. He will do things through you because you had to go through that, that other people can't understand. And they look at you and they go, how could you ever do all of this? It's because God knew what I needed. He shaped me down here in the crucible of suffering because I chose to trust him that he's good. His ways are worthy to be trusted. Men and women who are men and women of faith are those who anchor ourselves in the ways of God and not just in the deeds of God. Lastly, hope is anchored in the person of God. Hope is anchored in the person of God. His promises, his purposes, and his person. Over and over in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Psalms, It has this one phrase, hope in the Lord. And you see what God is doing, hope anchored in God. This is an invitation to walk more deeply with God. This is an invitation in particular to know God. I love Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs, and by the way, that word long there is one of the Hebrew words for wait. The Lord longs or waits to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Now, isn't that an interesting play on words? Because it's actually the same word in Hebrew in both places. God waits not so that he can hurt us. He waits so that he can be gracious to us. You see, God waits. Why? Because God is a God of process, not a God of product. All we want is the product. You put the dollar in, you want to get the Coke out, and I want it now. If I press enter, Jack, I want the website up now. I don't want to wait. God is not so concerned. God is a God of process. He's more concerned about shaping and forming us through the journey as getting us to the destination. All we want to do, just like some of y'all been on the journey, I just want to get there. But God says, no, because I'm shaping and forming you as you go. That's part of the process. And so the God, it says, I am a God of justice. Am I knowing God? And some of us study things like the character qualities or the attributes of God. God's justice, his mercy, his compassion, his truth, his love, and so on along that line. But are those words on a page or are those experiences we have of God? See, what we're saying here is, let me just say it like this, and I want to just focus on this for a minute. I can't hope in a God I can't trust, and I can't trust a God that I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? I can't hope in a God I can't trust, and I can't trust in a God I don't know. Even children show us that. Children don't just go run up to strangers. I don't know him. Mm-mm. Psalm 9:10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. You see, what I'm saying is this. A lot of times when our hope feels a little shaky, what it's doing is revealing that our knowledge of God is not everything you might think it would be. Because our true knowledge of God results in trust and creates the ability to hope in God. And so I'm saying to us today that as we come to know God, it allows us to set our anchor in the person of God. Those who know him will trust him and we will be able to hope in God. So let me conclude with a couple of thoughts by way of application for us. And then we'll go right back to Isaiah 40:31 here at the end. But I want to suggest to us today that hope is an attitude of heart. It's an attitude of heart. See, we know God because we spend time with God. We know God because we spend time with God. How do I grow to know and to trust God more? Because you spend time with him. And I'd like to encourage you, let me just give you a little project, just to be really clear about this. I would encourage you to go take your Bible and look up in the book of Psalms all the verses you can find that use the word wait or hope. Just do that. Now, if you don't know how to do that, there's 100 people who could raise their hand in this church and show you how to do that. So nobody's, you're without that. See, look, there's a little bitty sister right here. She can show you how to do it. She's about 8 years old. So, but look at that. Bathe ourselves in the scripture that talk to us about waiting on God and hoping in him. Because as we walk with God, then we'll be able to hope in him. Secondly, hope is an expression of faith and trust and obedience. Hope is a choice also. Because I can hope in God, or I can back off and go hope in something else. Hope is an expression of trust in God, of faith, and of obedience. And lastly, where we want to end, is hope is a place of strength. And that's where we started in Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and faint not. And as we anchor ourselves beyond the veil, as we anchor ourselves in the earth, in the heavenly, not just the earthly, in the invisible, not just the visible, in the then and not just the now, then we have an anchor that will hold us in a storm. We have a place in God where we are connected beyond the present existence to ultimate reality, which cannot change, because we're talking about God and His kingdom. And so as I take my seat this morning, I want to encourage us to follow the advice of Isaiah, to hope in the Lord, and to let God cause us to rise up with wings like eagles. Some of us are behaving like turkeys, running around clucking all the time because we have no hope. God is saying to us, raise up our heads and look to see what God has said is true about us, and anchor ourselves beyond the veil, because when your anchor is set in the right place, somehow your wings work a little bit better. And when you're anchored out there beyond all the stuff and the mess, when you stretch your wings out, you feel the wind of the Holy Spirit come under them. And all of a sudden you notice that while the other birds are flapping, you are soaring, because God is your strength. And the Holy Spirit is your wisdom. And that is the life God invites us to. God bless you and God keep you this morning. I want to turn you back into the hands of Pastor to lead us here from this point, and to invite us to respond to what God is saying, a God who gives us an anchor beyond the veil.